Welcome to Connected, the podcast brought to you by the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. Today, we're joined by Rodney Boyd, an American professional well-versed in government affairs, law, and public policy, and the founding partner of Nexus Group in Missouri. Rodney has built his career at the intersection of business, community, and government. He has also visited Rwanda 4 times with business delegations from St. Louis, and today we're excited to hear his reflections on those visits and the opportunities he sees for building stronger ties between Rwanda and the United States. Rodney, welcome to this conversation. We're glad to have you today.
Very good to be with you. Only one modification to your wonderful introduction. I'm humbled. I've been to Rwanda now 5 times.
Wow. Thank you for correcting me. 5 times. That's even more impressive. Let's rewind a little. As business leaders from St. Louis, what first pulled you toward Rwanda?
What drew me to Rwanda was a direct invitation in 2023 from a gentleman named Arnold Donald. At the time, Mr. Donald was the CEO of Carnival Cruise Line. He also lives in St. Louis, and he was the chairman of the World Travel and Tourism Council. And that body of travel executives from every discipline, air, aviation, hotel, they were meeting and having their first annual summit in Rwanda, in Kigali, in November 1st through the 3rd of 2023. I had developed a friendship with Mr. Donald. I was talking about the fact that I had never been to Africa. I had never had any real exposure to Africa. And he suggested that coming for that conference, which was the first time that conference was ever being held on the continent, and into Kigali might be a good learning experience. And I will tell you, I arrived in November of 2023 for that conference, and it had a profound impact on a lot of the things I learned and people I met had a profound impact on my life.
Excellent. Thinking back before you even packed your bags, what did you know or think you knew about Rwanda as a business and investment destination?
But so I this is where I'm embarrassed. I knew nothing about Rwanda as a business destination or a place of economic vitality. And in fact, my first exposure to Rwanda was as a young law student back in 1994, or recently law grad, when I first heard about the tragic genocide that had occurred. I am embarrassed to say that from that inflection point, from learning that, going fast forward to even, you know, to the 2000s, I didn't learn much more. And so one of the things that intrigued me was when I received the invitation to attend the conference in 2023, I began to do just some pretty unsophisticated research online. And I started to see things about how far the people of Rwanda and the leadership have brought the country in terms of healing, economic viability, GDP growth. And I was intrigued because it seemed a little bit astonishing that what I was reading was so far advanced from what I had, the limited knowledge I'd had about the genocide.
Exactly. But of course, reading about it is one thing. Actually stepping foot there is another. Fast forward, you land in Kigali. What's the very first thing that struck you? Was it the city, the people, or the business environment itself?
So the first thing that struck me about the city was the cleanliness. I travel all over the world. I'm in some of the most well-established cities that you can think of, from Los Angeles to New York to Amsterdam to Paris to wherever. And in all of those cities, I've sort of gotten used to a kind of a, you know, just an urban, sort of an urban feel. It's not, you don't feel like you're in the clean places. So when I landed in Kigali, I got up the next morning, began to drive around. I noticed that the city was incredibly clean. I noticed that a lot of things that I had gotten accustomed to seeing in major metropolitan areas throughout the globe just weren't there. There was no trash in the street. There were not homeless people laying everywhere. I didn't see people standing on the corners with drug addictions and begging. So it just hit me that something's happening in this place, in this city of 2 million plus people, Kigali, that is different than what's happening in other cities in the world. And it piqued my curiosity. Now, about the people, I began to interact with the people, people that were working at the hospitality industry at the hotel, people that were working in local vintage. And I started to see this consistent horde of just kindness, friendliness, openness to welcome me in as a foreigner, willingness to share with me aspects of their own lives and journey. And so the people really sort of made me feel extremely comfortable, welcomed, and appreciated me being there. And that meant a lot to me for my first time. First time in Rwanda, Kigali, and then first time in Africa. So it was very, very compelling. Economically, this is where it got even more intriguing. To see the sort of, when you're in the center city, Kigali, and to go around and meet some of the different players there, I had a chance to visit a facility called Norskin. It's a makerspace where creatives are there making, you know, starting businesses and, you know, innovating and solving problems. And I hadn't expected to see that level of sophistication in terms of creatives and startups and tech presence. And, you know, people were starting solar car companies there, and drone delivery companies were in that space. And so I began to see things in Kigali that I didn't even see in some of the most sophisticated cities in America or in Europe, right? In terms of how they... So it was very fascinating to me, this confluence of a clean city, very hospitable, very warm and welcoming people, with a lot of innovation taking place in the city, in the center city, that was impressive. And then I had a chance to visit some of the academic institutions and to meet some of the brightest students that I'd ever met anywhere in the world. And so it really began sort of through a compounding effect, tell me that there's something very special happening in this country with these people in this moment, and I'm blessed to be here to be exposed to it firsthand.
Fascinating. And I noticed on your LinkedIn that you're described as highly skilled in state and local government affairs. With that lens, how would you evaluate your engagements with government institutions in Rwanda?
Once again, going back to the people. So, you know, I do work in government, predominantly at the state and local level, working with governors, county officials, mayors, city leaders, so on. What I found to be remarkable was the ability, when I was in Kigali, to have access to government leaders to really learn more about what are the things that they were doing, what are the things that they are implementing that's making this city such an attractive place for foreign investment, such an attractive place for tourism, such an attractive place for startups, right? So I was able to meet very early in my time there and get to know the CEO of an organization called RDB, Rwandan Development Board. And when I learned the model that this is an organization that is sort of a one-stop shop for people who want to do business with the government, and I was able, within a very short period of time, to meet the CEO at the time, Francis Gatari. Francis was very kind. He explained to me how they accommodate the market and business needs. He then introduced me to, you know, a number of other key ministers throughout the government. And so very quickly, I was able to sit with the people that have the daily responsibilities of growing the economy, growing the opportunities, developing the business sectors. And I found it to be remarkably easy and wonderfully accommodating to be able to have these conversations with people that, you know, aren't always the easiest people to get on their calendar in other parts of the world. And that once again lent to my understanding of why Rwanda and Kigali have become so attractive for not just corporate foreign investment, but for individual entrepreneurs who are looking for a place to try out their ideas, to innovate and to cultivate or to establish their business. It made sense. So government there works in a way that is really accessible, open to dialogue, and collaborative. And that's incredibly important.
True. Those institutional experiences often shape whether businesses feel confident to invest. So looking ahead, from an investment or trade perspective, what opportunities do you think companies in the U.S. and specifically in Missouri should be paying attention to?
So I'll give you a couple of things. So I learned that the backbone of the Rwandan economy is agriculture. Well, it didn't take me but a nanosecond to connect this. That is also the lifeblood of my home state's economy. Missouri's largest economic driver is agriculture. And the beauty of it is a lot of what Rwanda, as a relatively young emerging economy, what they're struggling with, dairy milk production, quality beef production, these are skill sets and things that we have mastered in Missouri. We have one of the strongest beef production systems in the world. We have an incredible veterinarian educational infrastructure that supports that industry. We have one of the largest producers and distributors of dairy products, a company called Prairie Farms, right here in my backyard. So when you start to think about what Rwanda is trying to accomplish, its challenges, right? And the skill sets and the opportunities to marry those two things up, that's what became very exciting for me, to take established successful industries here in Missouri and other parts of the U.S. and to then connect them directly with the need in Rwanda. We have had conversations there with Mayor Sam, the mayor of the city of Kigali, and he talked about some of the infrastructure challenges, wastewater, sewer, developing road infrastructure for the significant population growth that is underway. You know, I don't know if people think about this, but the fact is that by 2050, one in every four human beings on the planet, probably under the age of 25 or 30, will be African. So the population growth in these city centers, these places like Kigali, Rwanda, is astronomical. So you've got to think about the infrastructure needs, not just the food production, but how do you accommodate doubling or tripling the size of the city population from over 2 million to 6 million in less than 20 years. So the idea is to take companies in America that have skill sets in helping cities develop housing plans, helping cities develop infrastructure, sewer plan, and bring them to places like Kigali to see how they can collaborate from an economic, but also from a supportive and collaborative perspective.
Great. And once you come back home, those insights don't just stay. So now that you're back, how has this visit influenced the way you think about Rwanda or Africa in your professional work?
So I want to say that the first and most important thing was that the first visit and now the last visit and the three in between, the most important thing that's happened is I'm even thinking about Africa. See, there's something that most people, it's almost like you got to start at this point where, you know, I was 50 years old when I first went to Kigali, to Africa. Up until that point in my life, very, very successful career in government affairs, representing a lot of major corporations, helping those companies deal with government IDA solve problems. Never thought about Africa. Never thought about what might be possible, what opportunities might exist. So the most important thing was to go to a place like Kigali and then to just think about what Africa in the next 40, 50 years will mean to the world. That then compels me to think about building certain bridges from certain businesses and civic groups and others into Africa, my entry point, my doorway for my own limited life experiences happens to be Rwanda and Kigali. But, you know, you quickly realize once you get to a place like Kigali that there's a lot happening there. There's a lot of elements of the world that are in Kigali, and there is a presence of other African leaders and nations in Kigali. So it's a great entry point for someone like me and many others that knew nothing about Africa, hadn't thought about Africa as a place to have any kind of professional civic engagement. You go to a place like Kigali, you see that, you know, this country in particular is really on the cutting edge of where Africa is going in terms of the ability to do business in a clean, safe, welcoming, business-friendly ecosystem that has been curated over the last 30 years. So for me, the just to get it in my head that the future of global growth has to include thinking about Africa. Now I've I've invited and been joined by over 35 other business leaders on these different trips. The last trip, I had 8 other people that joined me from academia, from civic and philanthropy. And they all come back and say the same thing. If you hadn't encouraged us, urged us to come to Kigali to see just what you'd seen. We may have lived our lives and never even thought about the importance of engaging with the continent of Africa. And so that's, for me, been the most important and fulfilling aspect of my journeys to there. I don't have a lot of downtime. I have a very busy life. I have a growing family and demanding work schedule. But it's been so profound and so impactful on my life that I've now been to Kigali, Rwanda, 5 times. But the beauty of it is that has also led me to take trips to Nairobi and Addis Ababa, connecting dots from Rwanda to Nairobi, from Rwanda to Addis Ababa. I've got upcoming trips that were born out of my time in Rwanda, from Rwanda to other parts of the continent. So it's been a profoundly important experience for me to go there, but I really appreciate what I found when I got there. A vibrant, healthy, growing, recovering economy, rich with opportunities for those that are willing to put the time, invest the time and the travel to go there.
And that brings us to the storytelling part, what you'd share with peers. If another US company leader asked you, why Rwanda? What's the one thing you'd highlight from your own experience?
Yeah, so what I would say to them is, because Rwanda is open to you, it's going to welcome the people of Rwanda, from the government to the everyday person. They're going to welcome you, your business, your company, your idea. They're going to welcome your resource thought leadership into their economy, and they're going to really celebrate with you a collaborative spirit of getting you integrated. And so I know how difficult, part of my vocation, my career, is to open doors for businesses to go into new markets. Companies hire me and say, hey, we want to do business in Texas, or we want to do business in Kansas. We need you, Rodney Boyd, to open up the door, get the governor or the mayor to welcome us in. What I can say to clients and business leaders is, unfortunately for me, you wouldn't even need me in Rwanda. You wouldn't even need to hire me. If you have a business idea, an economic opportunity, an academic plan that's going to be helpful and constructive and positive, you can walk right into the city of Kigali, go straight into the RDB office, and within an hour, somebody's going to help onboard you to get integrated into that society. An incredible testament to what Rwanda is doing. Not so good for my core business, because you wouldn't really need me. But the point is that I would say, if you want to get into Africa in a way that is safe and measurable and supported by the local economy, I've only been to now Rwanda, Nairobi, and Addis. Love Nairobi, love Addis Ababa. But what I found about Rwanda is they make it very easy to come and do business there. And that's what I would say to business leaders. They also make it very easy to come and feel welcomed, even if you just want to go there and not do business, but just to be a part of the civic or social scene as well.
Wow, you've taken us on quite a journey today. And maybe the best way to wrap up is in your own words. Could you finish this sentence?
Rwanda is a place where you can connect with the continent of Africa in terms of where Africa's going in the future. Rwanda is a place that encapsulates the future of opportunities on the continent of Africa. And I say that because a lot of places are right now focusing, and a lot of people go there to sort of reflect on the past. You know, I have a lot of friends that go to places like Ghana and other places, and they go to celebrate the history of African and African-American interchange. Rwanda is a place that you go to focus on the future of what's possible on one of the most vibrant continents, in one of the most vibrant continents on the planet. It represents the future of possibility for economic interaction with the continent of Africa.
Wonderful, wonderful. Unless there's anything else you'd like to add, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for what you do.
And thank you to our listeners for joining this episode of Connected, the podcast brought to you by the Embassy of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. Until next time, thank you for listening.